The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 1st of April, 2026. I can be honest with y'all. I came here to tell y'all this whole time, like I had an apology to make to y'all this whole time. I had a husband and a family in Turin, and I just been sitting here trying to take advantage of the diversity card, right, pretending to be gay. And then, but I mean, Trump them done killed DEI, so that don't make any sense. That don't make any sense. Anyway, it's April Fool's Day, and I ain't gonna trouble y'all with that. However, I do have what I think is an exciting show today. Joining me in studio is Dr. Ian Strawn. And I can tell you what, like Mr. Fred Mitchell, I'm not sure which Strawn is in studio with me yet. Could be all of them. It could be Dr. Ian Strawn, the author. It could be, you know, the guy who wrote Blind Days, his most recent release. It could be Ian Strawn, the playwright, your boy who did Gun Boy Rhapsody that was just at the Dundas. It could be Dr. Ian Strawn, the director and executive producer of Honorable Member, Movie Maker, coming out shortly. We're going to give you the details for that. It could be Dr. Ian Strawn, the documentarian. You know the guy who produced Eyes Man, Manhood in the Bahamas, right? It could be him. It could be the playwright and founder of Track Road Theater Foundation. It could be any one of them. And just like Mr. Fred Mitchell, what did he say? Just recently, fixed election dates are not on the agenda. I say, but I didn't know there was a fourth Fred Mitchell, because you know, he's consummate. He's an excellent MP. He is a beyond reproach as a cabinet minister and minister of foreign affairs. And he's not a half bad chairman of the party. But now he's a magician. He's make things disappear like campaign promises. Oh, joining me in studio is Dr. Ian Strawn. Here are my topics for this morning. Of course, it is the doctor. He can talk about what he want to talk about. I would like to take this opportunity to talk about the topic I had on the table for a couple days now. Drewski, political satire and politically exposed people. See, for me, I used to run a spoiled about. Dr. Ian Strawn was a part of a campaign similar. See, I didn't even tell you about The Advocate, Dr. I didn't even tell you about the talk show host, The Nation Today, the television producer to Gippy's Kingdom, or The Exchange. I didn't tell you about none of that. But today, right, Dr. Ian Strawn was a part of a group that led a political campaign called Out the Box that encourage Bahamians to examine the fullness of the political process and how they can participate in it. I call mine spoil the ballot. I went straight to the point. You're still voting. You're just spoiling their plans, right? But I have moved from spoil the ballot to the Guy Fawkes Party, right? A Guy Fawkes Party, since anybody could be a politician.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morning, by the way.
Yeah. But anybody could be a politician. I just like a party. I don't want to run. I just want to have a party like most people. They just want a party. That's why they're hanging on. They just want a party. They didn't know it came with all the rest of the work. So we got Dr. Ian, and I thought this is the perfect person to talk to about this space. Drewski, political satire and politically exposed people. I would like to use an example that's far away from us, but not too far away from us, because I heard that Kirk is Trump's cousin and family sensitive really? About each other. I don't know. I'd lie in. But the two of them very sensitive.
It ain't 12 o'clock yet. So
no,
you got to take what you say, you know, cautiously.
An example that's a little removed from us. Recently, the comedian and political satirist Drewski did what we commonly call whiteface. Now, technically, whiteface is not the companion to blackface, right? Blackface is when white people darken their skin to ridicule and perpetuate the subordination and oppression of people of African descent and dark-skinned people. That's blackface. Whiteface is the technique that clowns use. It is a technical industry term. Bang. Secondarily, if the term for painting your face white to mimic white people, it still wouldn't be racism.
It doesn't make you racist, no. No, no.
Because the white people have the power.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, Drewski said it can't even be racism because I am biracial and my grandfather is white. And he looked just like his grandfather, right? Mm-hmm. So he said it can't be racism because I'm white. That's why I keep telling y'all, my critique about the crown is complicated because King Charles is my cousin. And I need you to get into the nuances with me, right? And for all of those who think, right? Because there's a lot of us who think that while all the other Africans were brought here on a boat full of enslaved people, their African relatives didn't come that way at all. So,
British Airways.
Yeah, there you go. In the face of the most recent Drewski skit called Conservative Women in America.
I haven't seen it, you know.
You are missing something.
Anyway, gotta check it out.
Erica Kirk, the wife of the recently slain Charlie Kirk, whose death has launched her political career, right? She has taken offense.
I call him racist. I saw that much.
Yeah. And a great portion of white America
agrees with her.
Oh. Fortunately, there are lots of Americans who've watched Saturday Night Live. See, this is why I'm stunned. It's 2026, and Saturday Night Live satirizes everybody and anybody and anything. So I thought we were beyond this question of can you make fun of a politically exposed person, right?
And you can make a racial joke,
yeah,
without being racist. Mm-hmm. Many black comedians, that's their specialty, is making jokes about race.
Mm-hmm.
But racism is fundamentally what? A belief that your particular phenotype, your particular genetic category is superior to all others and that you should have dominance and power and supremacy in a society. Mm. Black people believe that? No.
Yeah.
No. Let's don't go there. So that's the problem. And every time someone accuses a black person of racism, I have that issue. Now, black people can project the racism that's been put on them on other black people,
mm-hmm.
right? But that, to me, is more of a product of self-hate than loving and believing blackness is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
For me, it's concerning because, I mean, the Trump administration is just the most beautiful thing. If you're a comedian.
Oh, yeah. Endless material.
A political satirist, right? And so I'm like, I'm hurt. The only thing I'm upset about the Trump administration is I get the impression that I can't crack as many jokes as I want to. That's it. That's the limit of my upsetness. Be on the air. They understand.
Okay.
At the same time, though, it causes me to reflect on my local environment, right? And the extent to which politically exposed people, A, are aware of themselves. Do you realize politically exposed or be a part of the political class? Mm. B, do you understand that then opens you up to be satirized? That people are going to crack jokes, right? And then, see, within the rule, in the world of comedy, there are rules. You always punch up. You don't punch down. Mm. You never crack a joke on someone that is lower than you. And what I mean is they are in a more difficult circumstance than you. They experience oppression because you are part of the majority group and they are part of the minority group, whether it's skin color, religion, class, wealth, even language, right? Like, people can make fun of me and my Bahamian dialect. They could do that, but I can't make fun of people who are struggling to capture the King's English, the Queen's English, standard Bahamian English. It's different.
I mean, you could make fun of them. It's just,
but I want to punch
would
up.
You when right. It's not good.
It has no real value.
Yeah.
Right? You punch up.
Yeah,
you don't punch down.
It's sour when you do that, yeah.
But I have a feeling, it's two things. I think that here, we don't know, a lot of us don't know where the thin line is between satire and just an attack, right?
Yeah. That's true. There's not a lot of satire. There's, I mean, sometimes you get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get it, right? But you're right. It's more, there's a lot of hostility that's taking itself very seriously, right? Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And so with the launch of honorable member.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able, like, see, y'all didn't have no, so y'all do vetting. I don't want no PLP security in there getting mad at me because I laughing.
No,
people who appear to be like the current administration.
And I hope, I hope FNMs, PLPs, COIs, DCPs, all of them come out, man. And basically, this is about us, about all of us, whatever your color is. I mean your political color. I think you can enjoy this political satire about the nature of politics, and laugh at ourselves somewhat, and hopefully, I think there's something I read that says that laughter is a kind of transcendence. Mm-hmm. It's an intelligent response to difficult circumstances when you can make light of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you don't understand the magnitude of the problems that you face, but to be able to laugh at it is kind of liberating in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the honorable member is definitely about Caribbean politics, not just Bahamian politics. I remember this started off as a play, and I staged it during the time of the Caribbean Studies Association conference, which we were hosting in the Bahamas. Of course, a couple hundred Caribbean scholars from all over the place. They all recognize this society in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all recognize it. So these things, and you can recognize American politics in it. So I think American politics looks more like our politics than ever since Donald Trump became president of the United States.
I just want to know, are you charging Trump for consulting fees? Are you charging him? Are you taking pages out of
it? Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. So, yeah. And so honorable member, wonderful cast, and we just having fun with politics. And, you know, again, how do people get power? They don't, well, luckily for us, they don't do it at the barrel of a gun.
Mm-hmm.
They make a case to you, and you either like what they're saying, you like the tune they're playing, or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to a ballot box and you choose them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, what does that say? Or said what you wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the politicians we have reflect the people that we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Without a doubt.
Right? So the movie is about who we are, too. It's about us, not just them.
I mean, you say us, right? What do you mean us? I spoiled my ballot.
Yeah. And I have done that, too. And like you mentioned Out the Box. And
I mean, like, when you say us, right? You know, nobody has ever offered me money to vote. Nobody has ever offered me money. They don't even offer me a T-shirt.
No, no,
they'd be like, Miss Green, you live in the bougie part of this place,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
you could afford a T-shirt. And so, like, when people suggest that that's a common experience, right? Like, everybody knows they pay you off. Everybody knows they put the money in the T-shirt. Never in my life.
But there are parts of, well, now you're getting into the economics of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The socioeconomics of it is that type of patronage doesn't take place in the same way in certain parts of the island. So the expectations of that voter are different. The things that voter wants from a government or from a politician are different.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, so they don't, that's not going to get them to vote for you. Now, I'm sure if you walk up to some people giving away T-shirts and say, can I have one? They can give you one, Aaron. They're going to be like, no, we need to save this for someone who broke it in you. No, right?
I don't know if it's even broke it in me, right? Yeah. It's like, what you could do with it? I ain't even sure you voting.
What you could turn this into.
Right?
You've never voted for a party? Ever in your entire life?
I think I voted sure, for a party. But I can be honest with you. I put my mother's name on the ballot.
That's cool. I like that.
I mean, because I could be honest, if I got to pick a leader.
Having met your mother, I would vote for her.
Right? Like, if I got to pick a leader, I can pick someone who I know it makes sense sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, and so at one point, I think my spoiling the ballot was voting for someone who I knew. They probably get 3 votes, and if I vote for them, they get 4. Right? And so, but it's about taking control of the narrative. Mm. The vote is mine. It's not yours, right? It's not.
Yes.
It belongs to me for me to do with as I wish. It is not nullified because I did not vote for you. Particularly because you telling me that's the only space of power that I have. I want to refer to this. There's a letter to the editor in today's paper, and I can be honest, I love getting older. I had one of them. I'm sure that's how my grandma used to react when I opened my mouth. She could just smell the foolishness coming out, right? I had a visceral reaction. I can tell you why. Composed, it's researched, thought out, it's a sound position, right? Why a fixed date won't work here. And essentially, the writer explains that a fixed election date it does not align with the Westminster system, right? And the way that it works and what it intends. And so my first visceral response was, who the hell cares about a Westminster system
here? We're going to preserve that, right?
You want to preserve it for the people who are not preserving it? It's as if we only preserve it, there's only value in preserving it when it's in their interest, right?
Who's they? Who's the there?
The political class, mm-hmm. the ruling class, mm-hmm. and those that sit within the party and within positions of power. I'm going to argue at this point that...
Don't forget that on the record, Brave Davis is on the record saying that this is something that they ought to look at.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
One quote was, no man should...
No man should control the country. Yeah.
But the other quote was so savvy. He didn't actually take on the responsibility of the thought himself. He boldly put it on Perry Christie. Like, that's what that boy think. And I stand in here telling you, because I support him, but that's him speaking, right? So the second point about the letter is this. The writer says, and I can read the last, in short, the issue is not whether fixed election dates sound attractive. Many things sound attractive in the abstract. The issue is whether they fit the constitutional system we actually have. And so I want to stick a pin there, because why would we be having a conversation about a fixed date election if we were not prepared to create the system that would allow a fixed date election? Like, it was such a brilliant letter, but so devoid of full thought, because if we were going to change our system for a fixed date election, then we would have to change our system to enable it. Like,
But I'm definitely going to in today's Guardian, you say?
Yeah,
but
Tribune.
Tribune. Okay, so but my thing is this. You don't need to change the system to have a fixed election date.
Yeah.
It would be nice to change the system, because I think that the system is one that disadvantages us. So you could literally get 40-something percent of the vote and mm-hmm. end up with 5 seats in the House because of the system that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a representational system, which is why third parties are constantly marginalized, despite the fact they represent 10 to 15% of voters sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of merit to actually adopting a system of our own creation rather mm-hmm. than what was handed to us from colonialism. But the fact is, if you ethically, or if you believe it is a moral good to, and a democratic good to set a date, do it.
Mm-hmm.
What stops you? You're the prime minister. We had this election on May 7th, 5 years ago. We're going to have it on May 7th again. I'm telling you all now. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
All the mystery's gone.
And if for whatever reason
nothing
I have
in
to
the
change
world
it.
Stops.
I will come back and tell you exactly
tell you
why
yes,
I can
and why
change it.
Yeah. Nothing. You don't need a constitutional amendment for that to happen. You don't want us to know when. Because now that you are in power, you see advantage in us not knowing. You see advantage in keeping your opponents on their edge. You see advantage in hoping that they will react, overreact to the possibility, to the whatever, or be caught sleeping, whatever it is. You are not actually participating in free or fair elections, right? You're using all of the power that you, and you have too much, right? To your advantage, right? Yeah. Just like you use tax dollars
now
to run your campaign.
At the very least, refuse to act in a way that enables the public to tell with certainty what came from where. Like, for instance, and we can get to it, what I call the constant misuse of OPM letterhead. Why is it constantly statements emanating from portfolio for communications, right? Like, a director communications office, like, that should be coming from the chairman of the party.
Like, what you're saying is that the civil servant who works in the office of the
or
prime
the appointee
minister,
in the office of the OPM.
Okay, but he's doing public service. He's working in the office of the prime minister on behalf of...
But the statements that emanate...
But he's working as a party... Yeah.
Well, the statements that emanate under the OPM letterhead are better suited for a PLP letterhead.
Yes. I understand exactly what you're saying.
So, okay, let's go to the caller quickly. Just let me say this before we go to the call. I got two more questions I want to ask you outside of the details of the premier of honorable member.
Sure.
Who will satirize the politicians if all the satirists waken for government, right? And and then what is a consultant? But let's go to the phone line. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller, and thank you for your patience.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Dr. Strawn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Aaron, you know, I was wondering where you were going when you said that the letter was well written and all of the other stuff like that, but I like your response to it. It was similar to mine. You know, Aaron, the irony about this whole thing is this. Anything that fosters good governance, accountability, and law and order, we don't want. It can't work in the Bahamas. I had a former minister of social services who told me that shared common responsibility for children born out of it.
What?
It cannot work. I mean,
but,
then
hold
they
on.
Said...
Let me just say this. Not only... See, this is what I mean when I suggest that we are not thinking hard enough, right? Because it seems as if they are stuck on the nuclear family model with a husband and a wife is the only model, but that means that you don't understand the extended family model as a shared responsibility, a shared parenting model that extends beyond the mother, father. Anyway, go on, sir, go on.
You know, then they said now fixed dates for general elections, it cannot work in the Bahamas. I mean, it's working properly in other jurisdictions, you know. Then you look at Freedom of Information Act, that can't work. When you look at the public disclosure, that can't work properly because of complication. I mean, nothing that makes sense and fosters accountability in the Bahamas cannot work.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot work. Debates, having political live debates, where people for a particular constituency field questions to address the socioeconomic of that constituency, that can't work in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Political rallies where people standing up getting drunk, that can work in the Bahamas.
Listen,
I mean,
even
nothing
the,
that makes sense.
Even the police,
work.
I just see the flyer, the police is having debates. They're having their police week
then,
or police month.
Then, I mean, like I said, the way we elect these officials, it's a disrespect to the working class. But I'm sure, Dr. Strawn, you, Aaron, what have you, when you go there applying for a job, they don't ask you to bring your best song and dance and shake up. They want to see whether or not you have the aptitude and the attitude to address their particular void in their company. They you have to be able to think when you're thinking critically, all sorts of other stuff. But for the politicians, all they need to do is shake up themselves and dance and move around. I mean, a lot of them don't even understand the primary function of a member of parliament. You ask them. You listen to the weird answers they give you.
Listen,
they don't understand. And then Duncan, you have the Speaker, the House of Assembly.
You being so sensible.
Don't understand the rules.
Hold on.
You allow people to give speeches rather than giving debates. It's just ridiculous.
You being so sensible, Duncan. Please, thank you for your contribution. Let me tell you something. I almost fell off. I saw somebody under 50 doing the Perry Shuffle. Unironically. Like, they were doing it to show that there is some... And I,
well, you know, that's one of the rules of politics. The honorable member offers to the public the 10 rules of it's a bit of an educational exercise as well as entertainment. So we offer the 10 rules of politics. And rule number 6 is find a gimmick. And it's very important to be able to distract the public.
You get copyright permission from Biggie Smalls? Biggie Smalls give you permission to use his model? Go on, sir. Go on. My bad.
Yeah. And in the politics of the day, to be able to distract people from the real issues, to be able to sidestep the hard questions, you go to, you appeal to the base and you distract people with monkeys in a barrel or whatever, or with mm-hmm. dancing, or in the case of honorable member, with singing. There's a singing prime minister in honorable member. Wonderfully played Lord. By Dion Johnson.
Did you hear my
Who
show?
Who keeps singing Sugar Boom, Sugar
did
Boom?
Did you hear my show Valentine's Day when I tell them, don't let a Bahamian man or a politician sing to you?
You gotta send me.
That's the old bear right there.
Send me the link so you, I can listen, man.
From Pat Roll to Ronnie Butler, these man them will have you doing whatever. Thank God they use, some of them use their power for good.
And not
for evil.
So in this case, it's Lord Kitchener, Sugar Boom, Sugar Boom. So that one, that's what he sings.
Okay.
You know, whenever he's in a, corner. It's time to sing.
It's like, and it's just like over here. Oh my God.
It is a kind of hypnosis, you know? Okay. But back to this issue of spoiling the ballot. Now, I mean, like, there were 3 reasons why we did it out the box, right? One was we weren't very inspired by the options we were being given.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also about protesting the electoral process. A lot of what Cleaver just talked about, the lack of transparency in terms of financing, the refusal to hold debates, you know, all sorts of things. There's no law regulating political parties in this country.
None.
There's a whole number of issues, right?
If you want to find out more, go to Facebook, search Future of Democracy Conference.
That's correct, that's right.
Go through all of them, but look for Future of Democracy for Don Sargent's presentation, where he walked us through the political process and, in fact, highlighted the lack of regulation for political parties, which means don't say nothing about my guy Fox Party.
And then the point was also to emphasize to the public that voting is important, but it is not your only way of participating in the democratic process as a citizen. Mm-hmm. That's just the beginning. You have a voice. Mm-hmm. You're paying taxes. You're using public services or not, or they aren't available for you to be used. That your voice is something you have every single day.
Yeah,
and you could call this show. You could write to the paper. You could park at your MP's office, at your minister. You know, you can be actively applying pressure for 5 years to make sure you get a return on your tax dollars and make sure you have a country that you are happy to live in.
In fact, you know, a number of people ask me, like, why you had the group Israel United in Christ on your show, right? And I tell them, listen, if the only thing that you got from their participation on this show was that you two could occupy a space in your own tree and share your voice, I think it was worth it having them on,
That's what democracy is. Yeah. And so I've said all that. That was 2017 election, I think.
Yeah.
I am not spoiling my ballot this time. Mm-hmm. I am voting.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's what
things,
I say.
Things of good direction sufficient for me to feel like I can't just...
I approach it like this.
Yeah.
The ballot was spoiled before I even got there. I gotta do something different.
Ballot
was spoiled before I even got there.
I like how you think.
We got a caller on the line. Let's take this caller and then some text. Good morning.
Mr. Strawn, how are you?
Mr. Strawn, that's for you.
Hi, I'm good. Good morning, sir.
I gotta say Ms. Korean first, but Mr. Strawn.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I want you to clear up one thing for me before I say what I want to say, please.
Somebody if I can.
Somebody is trying to tell me I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay.
How long Senorita Strawn was dead?
Okay, that's an interesting question. Why is that of national concern?
They're saying that Dwight Mummy just died. And I was trying to explain something to them, but I don't want to get out on that.
I got you.
But I'm telling them you were my neighbor from childhood.
Yes. So Dwight and I are brothers, but we don't have the same mother.
Okay, that is all I wanted to tell them. They don't understand it. But Ms. Green,
yes, sir.
You are sitting there with one of the most smartest, I challenge, one of the most smartest young men in his age category right now in his farmers today.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind, but 56 ain't young no more.
That is the idea of a damn good politician.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whoever decides to go with, I sure he'll make a good contribution to this country.
Mm-hmm.
They rob him, then they didn't give him the chairmanship of the university. But that's another subject for another day.
Yes, sir.
Ian Strunt, this is your childhood friend, Julian Ferguson.
All right, brother. Oh, hey, brother. Hey, neighbor.
Okay.
Hey, cousin. Hey, neighbor. Hey, schoolie.
All right, good. you know, one thing I can say before I go.
When eight wheels meet four wheels, it's going to be trouble. So do your skating.
An eight wheel? That was the commercial?
Yeah, eight wheels meet four wheels. It's going to be trouble.
That's okay, when the prison bus meets you and your four wheeler doing foolishness.
Get away from trouble.
All right, okay, good.
Thank you for your call. Thank you, man.
All right.
Thank you for that sentiment.
Producer, let's prep the next call. I just want to read this before we go on. This, the first text of the day. Good day, and I want Dr. Strawn to recite the commercial he did, when eight wheels meet four wheels, there's going to be trouble. He's always a star. Just loved his column he had in the Nassau Guardian. He's a full-time Bahamian with such remarkable work. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
Tell you once again to stop smoking ears, and you won't listen to me yet. So probably you listen to him.
You hear what he say, and you heard what I said this year.
Oh, yes,
this year, I suspect the ballot could be spoiled when I walk in the boot, man. They could do it before me. Yeah. I can't say how I could spoil it. See, that's just like how they had the pretend town hall meeting to turn out to be a PLP rally, and then they teeth Rasta slogan talking about forward ever, backward never. That's Rasta slogan. Anyway, thank you very much, caller, and that caller reminded me to tell y'all, he told y'all watch the gas prices, but there is a fake flyer. There is a flyer. There's a fake news flyer out there with gas prices at $7.699. That is fake. The gas tracker for the week is out, and after the break, I can read those numbers for you. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning.
On your guest.
Good morning.
Miss Green, the lady, I was calling in, but I couldn't get into that lady what's been there with Mr. Dwight.
Without a strong.
Which way?
Yeah.
Like, these politicians don't realize that everybody listening and watching in this country, you have a country, you run it in, and you ain't saying nothing that you can help the Bahamian people. What you can do, just speak talking. I want to know personally who I could vote for. FNL? PLC, CDL,
who? Vote for me. Vote for me. See, here's the thing. If you can't trust them and you can't trust yourself, trust me.
And the fact
you ain't on the ballot.
The sad thing about these the government what in power don't inspire behemoths. All they thinking about is foreigners. What about the behemoth people who they giving all the foreigners all the jobs, allowing these businesses to hire a bunch of foreigners because they don't want to pay no wages. They paying them more, the Bahamian people, to go to work when we have to pay all of these exorbitant bills that they putting on us. What you think about that, Ms. Green?
Listen, you should not say such exciting things among such excitable people and not expect excitement. I'm still stuck on the part where you said, like, they don't inspire Bahamians, because I realize they're very inspirational, you know, and that's where they get confused. They inspire foreigners, right? And, like, they got caught up in their own sauce. They misunderstood the assignment. They want to attract foreign investors here to this country, right? But they are now inspiring the foreigners about their capacity to enjoy life in the Bahamas more than they're prepared to provide for Bahamians.
That's what I'm trying to say. Ms. Green, you hit the nail on it. You so smart, Ms. Green.
No, I just play with words. Don't mind
Ms.
that.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
If nowhere in the world I'm going to vote for this government. Definitely not.
But don't vote for me.
This government here ain't giving me no inspiration to say, well, I should vote for them, because here it is, they only care about the foreigners. What I mean by foreigners, you go on the plumbers, the carpenters, the masons, every person what is inside this country who's doing the hard work, they killing us. It's a foreigner.
I got your point. I got a couple of callers and some texts. Let me try and round it, sort of sum it up for you, right? Like, so when we get to that point, and I sort of tongue in cheek say, like, don't vote for me. The most important thing is this. Like, if you can no longer believe in the political leaders, right? You got to figure out how to believe in yourself. What is it that you can do? Mm-hmm. What is it that, you already bring in? And so here's what I mean. I want to take it to your point you're making about the work site and in construction, right? There are lots of jobs that Bahamians could be filling. We don't know why they're not filling them. We know the exact reason why in every instance. There are lots of jobs. I want you to think about this, though, right? 2016, the contractors bill was enacted. It called for the construction, pun intended, of the contractors board, and the contractors board would license contractors. The Contractors Association, BCA, and Leonard Sands said last year, hey, it's been 9 years since the implementation of the act. The board has never been composed. No contractor has been licensed in this country by a Bahamian authority authorized to license since the implementation of the act. Well, what does that mean then? It means that no Bahamian contractor could bid on any of these big foreign jobs coming in. Because foreign people have sense. And they only insure people who are licensed. Because insurers only recognize licensed people, right? So when I say you got to believe in yourself, if you're concerned about why there seems to be a lack of Bahamian expertise on the worksite, right? Ask yourself, how are you lobbying to ensure that the Contractors Association, the Contractors Board and all of the agencies and entities emanating from the legislation is implemented properly and working properly, right? Because those are the steps to ensuring that any worksite either meets the legally required standard of Bahamian labor participation, right, or is heading in the direction of whatever the industry culture is if no legislation exists. That's what I can't trust them. You got to learn to trust yourself. If you can't trust yourself, then there's no point. They're going to continue to take advantage of you.
So let me just say this. I know there's a lot of disenchantment. I know there's a lot of frustration. People are tired of empty promises. They're tired mm-hmm. of broken promises. there's a lot of that. A lot of people will decide to stay at home. Maybe as many as 10,000 of eligible voters won't vote, mm-hmm. right? But we all need to consider that whatever we decide to do, it has a consequence. If we stay out of it, then we leave the decision to others. And we will live with what they decide. And that is a choice on us. And so my advice to people is to really think long and hard about sitting it out. Because if you're going to sit it out, then what are you going to do instead? Let's put it that way. Let's put that flip on it to extend your thought. If voting isn't going to do it for you, what will do it for you?
Yeah. How will you participate?
How will you turn the needle even a little bit toward a better country?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have a responsibility to do that because you have children, you have grandchildren, you have an elderly mother, you have, you know what I'm saying, an aging aunt. We all got to live here
mm-hmm.
unless we got a golden parachute that takes us to Canada mm-hmm. or whatever.
Gold
I know you don't go to the States no more, so you must be getting to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm on crazy, you run the United States of America. Go on.
I was going to say, unless you're a gold-collared worker, right? That would say, you know about the blue-collared worker and the white-collared worker, but do you know about the gold-collared mm-hmm. worker, right? Let's go to the phone line. This person has been waiting patiently. And then, producer, let's go to a break, and then we get back on our topic. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? My apologies. Producer, can you take us to a break? Caller, it came in. Disco caller, producer, tell me what we're doing. There we go. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, David. How you doing?
I good, thank you. How you do?
Nice topic. I just put my side on two topics. The issues with the billboard being taken down by the people in Freeport. Now, I don't know if it was Mr. Ingram or Mr. Christie who extended this for another 50 years. because 7 years back,
Christy.
We didn't get rid of that.
Christy. Mm-hmm.
But see, but the fact of the matter is, we keep taking these lawyers as smart. See, when you know, I accept my leaders. Trust me, Lord knows I accept my leaders. Because if we get $14 billion worth of debt in this country, so let them put them with a lawyer and finance and control the land. Everybody, why are we in all this debt? Hey, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
Why are we in all this debt? And I listened to the caller before, you know. And he's dead right. See, Aaron, so Leonard Fillon say, if we unify this country, then we do what we have. See, the foreigners know that we make people like not together. We marching on behaviors. Oh, don't get JJ no job. Don't get Aaron no job. You know, but Aaron, you know what's going to happen to him?
Mm-hmm.
Be positive now. See, and I say, in order to let my boy Dwight know, Dwight, that's why they don't want local government in the island of the province. Because, see, the politicians like for people to come bigger than them. You know? Mm-hmm. Because local government, the people say, you can't put a sign here. Fine. You
mm-hmm.
know, you have an environmental court, the road, all this stuff, people doing all this stuff, and these four wheels doing all kind of foods in the road. Local government will fix these things. Aaron, your young people doing an excellent job, and your people have a good weight, man. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Them young people doing a good job, for real. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? We miss you. Strong, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, is it a snap election?
Yeah.
Is it a snap election?
Yeah, okay. We can go there. Yeah.
And what's a consultant? I could be a consultant. I don't know why they wouldn't let me be a consultant. I know why. Because my mother was a civil servant and a consultant. Then they can call it nepotism, right? And then they can say, your mommy get you in there. And then, right? And I can say, well, why y'all don't want to get your full weight?
What people can say, can you provide quality service that the Bahamian people require?
I was going to say, because this only little common sense she lent me. Where you think I get it from, right? But they can say, no, you can't do that. Anyway, caller, if you could hold on until after the break, do so. If not, we'll see you on the other side of this break. Thank you, producer. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, 96.9 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. 256-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
Show, want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just producers.
paid for by the PLP.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock. We have Dr. Ian Strawn joining us, documentarian, advocate, talk show host, TV producer, movie maker, poet, playwright. Okay, that's the boy right there. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning to the world. Good morning,
Papa.
Mr. Strawn.
Good morning, morning.
All right. Tell me something. You know, I wish, like, as a blind person who like to vote, right? Thank God for it. But I wish it'd be a little different in the future, that us blind people will be able to do it in a different way. I want to use the word with dignity more. Mm. And, like either use audio or something. Like, if I vote in PLP, I mean, and some of us mightn't want the world to know it, right? Or whatsoever I vote in, I won't be able to. I know we got to trust someone, even in our world, being blind. We trust in people to do things for us and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But that one, I wish they could have just imagine all of them was blind and they need to do it and they won't do it with dignity mm-hmm. and feel good about it. I still feel good, you know, but, you know, I still trust in, and I wish I could have just put my hand and do it myself or be able to use my voice and say, well, me, so I voting for the PLP or whatever.
Papa, in the spirit of Drewski, let me just say you could imagine the $25,000 they took from the Persons with Disabilities Commission after Obie Wilchcombe's death to hold a second memorial for him at Bahama, a second memorial, you could imagine how much of that $25,000 could have been used to implement a program to first evaluate how other jurisdictions accommodate disabled.
I'm putting myself in my position. And
hold on, let me finish it. Hold on, let me make the broad point. Right? They could have taken some of that $25,000 to do the work to ensure that Bahamians with disabilities can participate with equity, right? Equally, equitably. But it's more than that. Imagine now, just this week or last week, we had the story where the deaf patient, right? The deaf patient had to raise the point that this is against the law, that you don't have mechanisms to accommodate me as a deaf patient.
Yeah.
And then the mother alleging that the staff tell her she don't need to, like, to leave us to infer that she don't need to be in charge of her own health care. She should know that. She should know. She limited.
That's sad. Miss Green, sound like Mr. Strawn saying there's no time to spoil no vote, right?
I mean, that's what it sounds like he said.
That's exactly
what
I'm saying.
Okay, sorry. That's what he said.
Okay, so Mr. Strawn, so rather than spurling your vote, right? You know, some of the people from different parties, they be disappointed or whatever, and they stay home or they don't vote, although they register, right? I don't know to use myself for example. Let's say a person who would criticize, say wrong about the party, but still vote for the party, are they just as bad as the person who don't go to vote and say, well, they vote.
What a question,
eh? I feel like if you don't vote or you spoil your vote, it's like you said, you please with the government. Things are strong. I don't know if you can get the answer, right? One last thing, it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's our rights to do what we want to, even spoil your vote or vote for the COI. But how important you say this is right now, this election is right now, should we concentrate on the COI or the,
okay, I got you. Thank you, Papa. I got you.
Okay.
So the last question is, would voting for a third party be like spoiling your ballot or wasting your vote?
Right. So the first part he said I thought was really, really very, very,
me too.
Very good question.
Which
is, I think if you believe that the party is the best and you is the best for the country, and you believe their philosophies align with yours and their values align with yours, certainly you must continue to support them, and if you're critical of them throughout their term but still vote for them, mm-hmm. I think that's we need more of that. We need more people who are not prepared to just be silent when their side does wrong,
mm-hmm.
But be a good citizen no matter what and hold them accountable no matter what. Everybody who votes for party should hold their party accountable, yes. Rather than this blind loyalty, which way you do get punished for being critical, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, there's that. Now, as far as the COI, I mean, again, people, I understand why, and I've voted for a third party before. I get it. I understand why this is a part of democracy. You have a right to vote for whichever organization you want, and that's part of it. But I personally just, I can't support that group given some of the very, very concerning sentiments that they've expressed. And I agree with, and I stand by my analysis, which is that if you vote for them, you are essentially supporting the Progressive Liberal Party, because I don't see the COI winning the government. I just don't think they represent the majority of Bahamians. So that's a vote for the PLP. And if that's okay with you, then go right ahead, man. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, look at me. I just vote for Chicchani and Raccoon. Here's a text. Just like how Ryan Pinder ain't eat the corned beef, I thought that was politically funny as hell. Like when Alfred told the people to go in the cave. Yeah, but y'all ever watch the movie Goodfellas? Like, you need to let me know before you tell the joke. Is this going to be a ha, 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 ha kind of joke, right? Yeah. Another text, punch up. You ever heard Dave Chappelle? His whole deal is making fun of things that shouldn't be made fun of, and he does it in a very clever way. I mean, that's one way to put it. It could be that Dave is trying to discuss things that we don't discuss because we're afraid of offending people without being prepared to talk about what the offense is, right? Mm. Like, if you're going to tell me I offended you, then we need to be prepared to walk through what's happening. I saw on Facebook where people were quoting a satirical book or play written by Mr. Pintard as his actual view. Seriously, Miss Green. I seen that as well. Let me read through these texts. And now the UK has a fixed election date. Good morning. I bet corruption is also not a part of the Westminster system. The text says, I'm going to the beach. I'm almost 70. I'm done. Listen, I want to say to the 3 score and 10 gang, right? You got to decide whether you're in it or you're not. Mm. You got to decide, like, you want to be in charge. You want to be in control, but you don't want to be in charge. You want to be in control, but you don't have to follow the rules yourself. That's not what membership in the 3 score and 10 gang is about.
The sitting prime minister is 70. He wants to be prime minister for 5 more years.
The text there says, morning, I'm mad. Latrey somewhat itemized the consultant amounts and services. That made it worse. Listen, what made it worse is that half of those things on that list is not consultants. The list suggests to me that the government is devoid of actual expertise.
Atlantis Theater, Saturday, April 11th, 8 p.m. Come and see Honorable Member, guys. You'll enjoy it, I promise.
I'm going to try and get this gentleman back in studio next week so we could continue this conversation. I could be honest with y'all, audience. It's like April Fool's Day, right? I wasn't going to let y'all talk at all. But Popo would allow me because y'all had such good contributions. Everybody made a great contribution to the discussion. Dr. Stronach, have you back on, please.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Keep absolutely. Up the good work. Don't spoil your ballot then. Vote for me then. You don't know what you could do with your life. Vote for me. Let me do it. You don't know how we could spend the government money. Hire me as a consultant. I'll spend it. But most importantly, you got to take charge, man. You got to see yourself as real. Thank you, producer. We are out of here. Have a great day. Bahamas.
God bless.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.